Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen.
Our text today is from the second reading from 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, where St. Paul says, "As for you, brothers, do not grow weary in doing good." Amen. This is our text. The end is near. The end is near. That's what Malachi tells us. That's what Jesus says in the gospel reading, in words that may sound disturbing and unsettling and frightening. Blazing fire and utter desolation. The destruction of the temple. False preachers and prophets who are saying that Jesus has come again, or that they are Jesus. Wars and tumults, earthquakes, famines, pestilences, terrors in the heavens and on the earth, persecution and death. Jerusalem surrounded by armies and then trampled underfoot. Nations in distress, people perplexed and fainting with fear. And they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. They will see him coming to a world which quite honestly seems to be at that point to be hanging on by a thread. Now, many of these things have already happened. The temple of Jerusalem was destroyed, trampled underfoot. The city has been rebuilt, but the temple has not been. Earthquakes and famines are common. Wars happen over and over again. Pestilence and tumults and nations in distress. And sometimes we think that the wrong finger on the wrong button could quickly end all of it. For hundreds and even thousands of years, people have been seeing all these things and thinking, this is it. This must be it. And we're getting closer. But so far, the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory hasn't happened. Although the Thessalonians seem to have thought that maybe it had happened. You see, it seems like there was a rumor going around among the Christians that Jesus had already returned in glory, and they missed it. I don't know how you would miss it, but they seem to have think that they did. So now what? If we missed him coming again in glory, now what? Then nothing really matters, does it, if that is true? And St. Paul wants to set them straight, wants to correct this error in their thinking. St. Paul says, "Pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead." Jesus has not yet returned in glory. But in these uncertain and perilous times, in these times that are frightening and disturbing, one thing is needed. The truth of God's word to be proclaimed. To be proclaimed to us and to all the world. To help those who don't know what to think. To help the people being deceived and misled by untruths or half-truths. And for this truth to be spread, that the Lord is faithful. This is what Paul says. The Lord is faithful and he will guard and establish you against the evil one. What he means is this. That no matter what happens, we have a Father in heaven. We have a Son, Jesus Christ, who will do what they have said. They are faithful in all the things that they say. There's nothing in this world that you can count on more than you can count on him. And so St. Paul says, may the Lord, the faithful Lord, the establishing and guarding Lord, direct your hearts to the love of God and to the steadfastness of Christ. He prays that their hearts would be directed not to a God who is far away, but to where there is reason for confidence and hope and faith. To the God who is near, the one who has come near to us in the cross. That's where he would point them. in the midst of the tumult and the chaos and the wondering and questioning, to the God who would do that, to the God who would give himself for you and for me into death, coming into this messed up and self-destructive world and shed his blood for the likes of us, to save you and a world that seems to be falling apart at the seams. He points us to the steadfastness of Jesus Christ. Because the cross was the fulfillment of all of God's promises. Everything that he said in the Old Testament sort of lands on the cross on Christ. Which promise of God's has failed? Tell me. Which of the things that God said has not yet been fulfilled, aside from Christ coming again in glory? Not a single one. And not a single day has gone by when you have lived apart from his care and his love. Maybe you've known that you've been under his care and his love. Maybe you haven't known it, but it's been true all the same. All the time, he has been there. He has been faithful to his promises and also to you. And he has been faithful in working for you and for your salvation, in small ways sometimes and in big ways at other times, and even to the point of sending his son to die for you on the cross, for your sins and for the sins of the whole world. The Lord is faithful. And not only is he faithful, but he is also steadfast. And that's such an important thing when we think about the world in which we live. I mean, this world is constantly changing. And I don't have to tell you that as much as it may seem like things are the same, think about what life was like 10 years ago or 15 years ago or 25 or 50 years ago. It's constantly churning. The things that we thought would last forever, they didn't. The things that we didn't think would last, maybe they're still hanging around or they're coming back into style again. What we thought we could count on let us down. And life flies by, and who knows what tomorrow will bring. But the word of the Lord endures forever. The word of the Lord endures forever. This is what is sure and steadfast. This is why we gather week after week, year after year, to hear the word that endures. This is why we pick it up at home and read it and pray it and meditate upon it, because this is the thing that will last when everything else falls apart. If you've got a bad day or a bad week, a bad month or a bad year, if you've got a difficult diagnosis or a big bill, if you've got a temporary inconvenience or a life-altering accident, in every anxious day and sleepless night, you have a loving Father who knows you and your needs. And you have a steadfast Savior who went through it too, who went through all the suffering of this life, all the trials that we endure, and he rose victorious from the dead, so that you will rise as well with him. So whatever comes and however difficult it may be, it will not, it cannot, it will never defeat you who are in Christ Jesus. You who are in his care. So Jesus is coming again in glory. The Lord is faithful, we can be sure of it, and we have his steadfast word that endures forever. But until that day, what do we do? Until that day, how should we live? Well, St. Paul has a lot to say about that as well. And Jesus mentions this too. He mentions two particular ditches on which you can fall. The first one that Jesus speaks about, of how we might spend our time in this world, is one in which we simply deny his coming and we live in what he calls dissipation and drunkenness. You might say this would be the sort of attitude that says, well, eat, drink, and be merry, have fun, and try to forget all that we see happening, all these signs. Just numb yourself to endure. The other side of the ditch is to get so wrapped up in the trials and the tribulations and the troubles and all the cares of this life that we get crushed under them, that we see no way out, that we give up. I worry sometimes when I think especially about the news cycle and social media feeds and all of those things that come at us, how much that has the tendency simply to weigh us down and destroy us. I've said it before, but I'll say it again. I think our lives would be a whole lot better if we just simply turned it off. You're not going to miss a whole lot. And you're not going to get crushed by the cares and troubles of this life. So neither of those ways is helpful. It's not helpful to go the way of simply numbing the trouble, and it's not helpful to go the way of being crushed by the trouble either. And how could we? How could we possibly give up on a Savior who never gives up on us? How could we possibly stray from the one who is faithful and true to every word and every single promise that he has made? How could we live in despair or in dissipation when he was willing to die on the cross for us and then washed us clean with his blood that he shed and he gave to us in holy baptism and serves to us in holy communion? Jesus is the one who said, "I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you even to the end of the age." And all this is the answer to our prayers. This is how and where Jesus gives us the strength to endure and to escape the tribulations. All these things will enable us by faith to stand before the Son of Man at his coming and to stand with confidence and with joy. But life is about more than that, even. It's not just about hanging on to the end. We're not just sort of waiting and enduring until he comes. No, all these things enable us to live our lives now in a way that is fitting for believers. This is one of the things I want you to be thinking about today. God's Word, our baptism into Christ, the Holy Communion, the Holy Absolution, the fellowship of believers. These are the things that enable us not simply to hang on, but to live a confident and bold and joyous life here, doing the work that God has given us to do, confident that he will provide for us each day. And this is where Paul uses a particularly interesting word. He speaks about quietness. Do your work quietly. What does that mean? What would be the opposite of doing your work quietly? Well, the first and maybe most obvious way would be to do it with your mouth running. To do your work while you've got an awful lot to say, which seems to be the way that the world is today. We have people who are talking and yammering on about everything. They've got an opinion on every subject. They're willing to say whatever simply to get clicks or likes or views. They don't care how they hurt others with their words. They don't care about the truth as long as they're heard. I ran across something like this week, even not within our congregation, but within the wider church. Someone who was frustrated about things going on and who went off on a rant for about 15 minutes online. And I don't think he knows what he's talking about. And what he says isn't constructive in the least. Busybodies, Paul calls them, who just stir up trouble and strife and don't lift a finger to help. That's not good. That's not right. That's not helpful. That's not why we're here. So St. Paul says, if anyone is not willing to work, let him not eat, which sounds kind of harsh. And I don't think Paul means that we need to get rid of SNAP or Social Security or any of that. But what he means is this: all talk and no work, as attractive as that may sound, has its consequences. Our God has called us to do our work quietly, knowing that the Son of Man is coming in glory. And isn't that exactly what Jesus did? I mean, yes, Jesus talked a lot and he preached and he had sermons. But I mean, think about Jesus, who knew that the forgiveness and mercy that he came to bring were not just words, but required work on his part. the work of laying down his life. St. Paul, who knew that Jesus had paid the whole debt of his sin and who preached it, but who also imitated Christ by laying down his life for those to whom he preached. He worked to support himself so that Christians wouldn't have to go without the gospel because they couldn't pay him. And Jesus backed up his words with deeds, and he paid the debt of your sin. He freed you to now bear the cross of others by imitating Paul, who imitated Christ, so that we wouldn't just talk a good game, but we would do our work quietly. What kind of things might we do? Providing food for people in need, helping women who are pregnant or in need, supporting those who are elderly and can't take care of things like they used to, which we've been doing as a congregation, and the need will continue to be there. Giving rides, helping others pay their bills, going out of your way, making a phone call or reaching out. And you know, as we do these good works quietly, St. Paul would remind us that we don't need to go around trumpeting what we've done. We don't need to tell everyone else about how great we are. Simply do the work in front of you. Care for those around you. Whatever it might be, and when I say this, I don't mean paid jobs. I mean you can pray for people, or you can serve them, or you can take care of your daily job faithfully for those whom you serve. Just as Christ bore your burden, and just as Paul bore the burden of the Thessalonians, so we who are in Christ are always bearing one another's burdens. That's what we've been called to do while we wait for Christ's return, to bear the burdens of others because of the one who bore our burdens for us. And that's why St. Paul is so concerned that we would fall not simply into a life of talk, even if it's good and pious talk, that we wouldn't just be about a life that sounds good, but that our lives would be lives that show forth the love and mercy of God in our actions. Yes, we believe that faith alone saves. We also believe that true faith is never alone, but it is always active in love. Because faith is quietly confident in Christ, confident in all that he's done for us, so that we rest in his love. We rest from our labors to save ourselves, and instead we serve others, quietly and at peace. We don't need recognition for the things that we do. Our Father in heaven sees. We do what we do because of the thankfulness that we have for what God has done for us, and we do what we do because we see the signs that Christ's coming is near. We don't just twiddle our thumbs, but we live faithfully as his people in quietness, but a quietness that speaks. Perhaps you can think of someone in your own life whose outward demeanor was so understated, but the things that they did meant so much to you. They could work quietly, but make a tremendous impact. May God grant that we work like this, with a quietness that is confident in Christ, with a quietness that gives words of encouragement and of forgiveness, with a quietness that sings and prays, with a quietness that bears witness to our Lord, with a quietness that is happy to listen, quick to hear, slow to speak, because quietness and confidence in the Lord will act and fulfill his word. Our Lord Jesus Christ lived his life and did his work quietly and faithfully, that we might have the promise of salvation in him. St. Paul did his work quietly and faithfully, that the word of Christ might be made known. And now he calls us, in whatever our vocation, our calling is, to do our work quietly and faithfully as well, confident in the one who cares for us, and confident that Christ is coming again soon in glory on the clouds with power and great might, because we know the Lord is faithful, and we know that his word endures forever, and we know that if there's anything in the world we can count on, as we do our work quietly, we can count on that. So do not grow weary in doing good. And whenever you feel that weariness hitting you, come again. Grab hold of that gift of baptism by which Christ washed you and made you his own. Open up his word and read of his faithful promises and fulfillment again. Take hold of the bread and the cup of Christ, who gives you his own body and blood, until he comes again in glory, that we might do our work faithfully with our eyes fixed on the cross. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.